May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And a good rainy morning to you, my sisters and brothers, saints and sinners and children of God. And what a blessed event that was this morning after it looks like we're getting some of the rain that we needed to combat this dry situation that we have here in California. And here we are in Mark at the end of Jesus' ministry and the very beginning of the Passion narrative. And the gospel is here taking a very difficult turn because it is the first time in Mark that we hear about something that's resembling end times. And the disciples are staring in awe at these big rocks that came together that made this temple. These country bumpkins, as they are in the city of Jerusalem, on their first trip to the big city. But Jesus tells them that buildings are only temporary, and this building in particular is very temporary. And these rocks that they are in such awe of will be cast down upon the ground. And as Jesus describes this destruction of the temple, this destruction in the heart of Jerusalem, of wars and the things that must take place, and he makes allusions to the wars and his flocks being led astray. He talks about kingdoms fighting. He talks about the earth shaking. But he's also careful to caution his disciples because amid all these events that they should not be surprised because this is what is supposed to take place. And he wants to be sure that his disciples can see the dangers around them because there is a place that they will be safe. And the disciples are getting, at this point in Jesus' ministry, the disciples have finally started getting this message that, you know what, it's not exactly what they were expecting. And even though their lives were singularly transformed at the very moment that they met Jesus, this realization of this coming times, this Messiah who will not be there physically in the near future to prevent his faithful from being led astray by false prophets, and this destruction that is about to take place, it might be fear-inducing, but it is in fact nothing to be feared by those that are faithful to Jesus. It is the birth of a new era, a new kingdom where he is in his reign. And they may see chaos and turmoil all around them, but being prepared for it, they will meet it without too much fear and anxiety, knowing that it will herald a coming glory in the end. And so, I cannot help at this point while reading this passage to wonder what the disciples must be thinking. Now, having no idea what is about to take place, because they know that Jesus says that he's not going to be with them, and they've heard some little rumor that he's actually going to die. All of this must still be remote to them. And this terrible destruction that's about to take place, these great wars, famines, and earthquakes, yeah, that's some frightening thing indeed. But again, they must get through them to get to the other side. But again, this is something that's still very far off and remote in the future. Scary nonetheless. Now, people of a certain age, and I'm talking about 40s and up, like me, growing up in the 1970s, we lived in this time known as the Cold War. And the concept of this thing called mutually assured destruction between the great world powers, well, on the outside, actually prevented this thing called World War III from taking place. And that everyone expected, while we expected that it was coming in the very near future, it still maintained a very frightening presence in the media, and especially in the mind of a very imaginative seven-year-old. I had nightmares of looking into the sky and seeing missiles rise out of the earth and then coming down and then destruction raining around us. And I know that the idea of my parents' era, where they had this simple concept of stop, drop, and cover, was just not going to be sufficient. If the missiles came down, that was pretty much it. And even if we were to survive this attack, The world outside would be completely unlivable. There were several motion pictures, mainly made for television, that we saw during that era about the life and times of the world after the nuclear war. And they usually ended up with very little hope. Maybe the Lifetime movies were a little bit more hopeful. And yet we survived the Cold War. In 1989, the Soviet Union fell and became Russia. And while even today we fear nations getting nuclear arms, and we hear about it on the media, the idea of nations with great arsenals of warheads pointing to each other still seems like an anachronism today. But we live in this slowly induced mutually assured destruction. This climate change that, despite the agreement of major science organizations, is in fact the is the product of human activity and getting worse year by year. And yet the great nations of the world are impotent to do anything about it, to combat it, to take measures to turn the tide. And that seem to prefer simply to continue letting us go down that path. Now, I don't need a child's imagination to become horrified by that very different future that we can envision, where the destruction comes not from missiles from the sky, but from the very atmosphere that we breathe, and the rise of oceans to ridiculous levels. Again, mind you, that is a worst case scenario. And as frightened as I am by the long-term effects owing to that sort of destruction, it is still very remote to me. This drought, while very inconvenient, is as yet not this future world. But I need only to look at the news reports of the last couple days. As terrorists under the auspices of the Islamic State make coordinated attacks in Paris and Beirut, killing hundreds of people. And I feel the same kind of horror that I felt on 9/11 and shake my head and cry, why must these things keep happening? What on earth, God, are humans doing wrong that drives evil to take place and turn the world upside down? And I think that going on Facebook and painting my profile picture with the flag of France seems a weak response to the truly devastating event, and one that also ignores a bombing in Beirut that killed over 40 people and injured 200 on the same day. And it fails to adequately convey my feelings of sadness and frustration as yet more events that take place on the international stage, creating an environment of increased hostility and one which politicians will use to forward agendas of fear-driven outrage to further marginalize individuals who have nothing to do with terror attacks. But Jesus does give us hope. Amidst all this turmoil, all this stress and strife, Jesus leaves, telling them that these are the beginning of the birth pangs, that something better is coming. And we need to be reminded that this is not the first time that we've dealt with horrible terror attacks, and that all of those Facebook pictures overlain with French flags are in fact done by friends from all over the political spectrum, united that in the horrors committed by people with evil intent, that we will stand with those who are in fear. And even though we hear a lot of ideas about what it constitutes to solve the problem, for once, when we hear things like seal off the borders and put them all in internment camps, those ideas are getting shot down with lightning speed. And while the sole object of the terror attacks is that we may live in fear and anxiety, because that's what terrorism is supposed to do, is to make us fear, and that the next attack could be in our backyard, each and every one of us needs to be reminded that we have more risk of being killed by a non-terrorist gun violence here in the United States, whether from the commission of crime, astray by a well-intentioned neighbor, or by an overzealous cop. And yet, we go on. The world continues. As long as people are out there who are willing to do anything to promote warped ideologies, we will have terror. And the more that we become connected to one another via this online network called the internet, the more that we will hear about these events. Even through the turmoil, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is no such thing as a painless birth. But here will always be birth. That sharing the planet with upwards of 7 billion people, there will continue to be problems adjusting. People won't always get along. But despite the turmoil that we encounter in the world around us, despite the gravity of life here on earth, Christ is with us and looking over us. We know that our hearts react to the news of terror overseas because we have the gift of the Spirit within us. Because Jesus is there overlooking us, we will respond with compassion and solidarity. And while the natural tendency of human beings would be to express violent outrage at the kind of people we would want to compare to those responsible, it is through the arms of our great Lord and Savior that we are given compassion to our fellow human being, be they those injured or the families of those killed or the people of another faith who... people who claim that faith are doing dastardly things. But short-sighted members of our society would point to all of them and say they are responsible. We have compassion for them. We have compassion because we are gifted with God's eternal grace. And we have love not only because He has commanded that we love one another as ourselves, because not only has He commanded that we love our enemies as our friends, but that amazing grace that He has given us, sinners that we are, unmerited forgiveness, forgiveness nonetheless, awakens in us the ability to love those we encounter, even those that we might fear or find discomforting. And we look at the painted profile pictures of solidarity statements with the people of France, with the realization that this love of neighbor does extend to Lebanon and other places that have been racked by terrorism, Yemen, Kenya, all over the world. And it shows that among Christians and non-Christians alike, that the spirit of love and compassion lives even among those who don't believe as we do. We know that what seems to our modern minds the worst of horrors, that God is still nevertheless perfecting His people, His chosen people, the people of God, indeed perfecting us and preparing us for His kingdom, where He reigns forever in glory and might, and that via our blessedly assured salvation, we have a share in that kingdom, dwelling in God's house safe from harm, in the comfort of God's loving arms. And that is the good news of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who lives even when sometimes we feel like He's not here. He yet lives, He yet reigns, and rules our lives that we may be lifted up in strength, even in the hardest times, and live in joy with His Spirit today. Amen.